It's time for the Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by the Campo Family, helping Alaskans having fun in the outdoors since the 1940s. And now your host, Craig Campo.
Sir, I'm calling you from down here to Broken Bow.
Oh, hi.
Howdy. Listen, I got a hold of one of y'all's newsletters, one of y'all's OWA newsletters.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got a Christmas tree farm down here, about an acre of Scotch pines and spruces and such.
Uh-huh, wonderful.
And they got infested with them beetles that you's talking about in your newsletter.
The Ips beetle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I followed your advice and sprayed them things with herbicides. And it killed all my trees.
Oh, wait a minute. I never gave any advice about spraying with herbicide. Herbicide is a tree killer.
Well, maybe you had a misprint in your letter, because that's what it said, some herbicide.
No. Okay, wait a minute.
I got some Scotch pines that's supposed to be some folks' Christmas trees come December, and I ain't got a dang on one of them.
Oh, God. Okay, all right, first place, the bulletin stated that you can't even spray an Ips beetle infestation with insecticide because they live under the bark, okay? So spraying won't do them any good. And my bulletin,
I guarantee it won't. It killed mine.
Well, yeah, if you used a herbicide.
Well, I just following the instructions in your dadgum bulletin. Don't y'all research them things out? Don't you know what happened if you spray them trees with that stuff?
Yeah, I sure do, and I would never. No, there was no misprint. Okay, wait a minute. Let's think about this. You have.
We can make this real easy if you just write me out a check. Because I lost, I figure, around 120 trees, and come Christmas time, I usually get about $50 a piece for them.
Okay, well, how big were your trees?
That's about 8 foot, 6 to 8 foot.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Do you know what kind of herbicide you use? Because most herbicides don't kill pine.
It's whatever it was in that bulletin. I don't know what you'd said in there.
But I never said herbicide.
Well, I took it down to the co-op, and they gave me what they thought was right.
Oh, my Lord.
I got about $6,000 in lost income I'm going to have to try to make up. And I'm retired. I supplement it with, you know, guiding fishing trips here and there time to time. But
well, sure.
If you just make me out a check, I guarantee you, I just forget the whole thing.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, first place, we are a nonprofit organization of woodland owners, okay? And our main purpose is protection of private property rights and the education of woodland owners so people don't make mistakes like you just made. And I take it you're not a member.
Well, my main purpose is to try to keep, you know, everything afloat here and keep my family, you know, took care of.
Oh, well, sure. I understand that, Mr. Mercer.
Yeah, we ain't going to have any Christmas money this year.
Mr. Mercer, if you read that
bulletin... I'll probably get my wife have to braid a lock of her hair into a watch fob for me.
What?
Well, I guarantee you we'd have to make crafts or something because we ain't got no money to buy no presents or won't when it comes time.
Listen, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but I cannot envision anyone spraying an acre of pines with herbicide and expecting that to kill the Ips beetle.
Well, okay? can you envision an ass whooping? Because that's what it's going to come down to if I don't get some satisfaction out of this thing.
Okay, now hold it, Jack. You don't know who you're talking to.
Well, I ain't usually one to whoop a woman's ass, but my wife.
Oh,
well,
don't let that get in your way.
My wife's pretty tore up about it. I might send her down there.
Go ahead. You would never find me. I'm down in the Kiamichi Mountains, but I'll tell you what. You give me your address, and I'll meet you at the damn gate.
My God. You give me your address, and I'll send her down there.
Well,
with about a truckload full
will,
of
them. And I'll tell you what, I'll do more than that. She'd never be able to find it. I'll meet her up on the damn highway.
Well, now, my listen. God. When? When can you be there?
You just pack yourself a lunch and come on down. I'll wait for you.
She'll be down there. I'd probably have to drive her.
Look, all right, wait a minute. Okay, let's talk about this rationally. You've got an acre of trees that you sprayed with herbicide that are dead, okay?
That's what it looks like. It's brown.
All right. I don't know why you sprayed them with herbicide because the bulletin... I didn't say that. I said...
Listen, if you just make me out a check about $6,000, I believe that just about pay my student loan off. You could make it out to Martin Nelson if you would.
What?
You pay his student loan off old Mark Nelson and pay his
Your
loan.
Mark Nelson's my son.
He's pulling a joke on you.
Lord of mercy.
Pat.
What?
It's a joke.
Pat, this is Phil and Brent and Roy Mercer from up here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. How are you?
Yeah!
Are you rat?
Oh, pack a lunch, Pat. Go whoop her ass.
Oh, you darn right I was gonna. I tell you what, I can lift a 50-pound feed bag now with no problem. So I can take anybody.
Hey, believe me, Pat, we don't want to tangle with you.
I guarantee you, we're quivering in our wading boots right now.
I'll tell you what. In fact, Mark Nelson little... better be quivering. I'm gonna whip somebody's butt for sure when I catch
now,
up with that boy.
How? What the hell's he going to school for? It's costing him $6,000.
Well, he went to TU.
So what'd he go, about 2 weeks?
Well, he darn sure won't be able to go anywhere for a while when I catch up with him. I don't believe this.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. All right, that's kicking it off with the R.D. Mercer. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show. Just having a little fun here on a middle of June. Well, I guess we're heading into end of June. Summer's blowing by, isn't it? It's crazy. I've been up the river, I guess, three times. And I usually try and get up about six times by now, but I still got to take the grandkids fishing up there. I've been working on projects, rebuilding cabins and doing kind of stuff I never had time to do when I wasn't retired. So trying to make time for that. I took a buddy up there who's really good at falling dangerous trees. And we've got a little cabin up there at about, on the good pasture, I don't know, about 42 miles up. Just 2x4 tin, older place. My dad bought many, many years ago, I think in the late 50s. He always reminded me he bought it when he didn't have the money to buy it, and the guy financed it for him. And I think it was Rural Griffin, who used to have Griffin's Photography in Fairbanks, a friend of my family, I guess, my dad and grandpa, you know, when Fairbanks was a much smaller town. But anyway, yeah, so there's this... I don't stay there anymore. I stay up at our upper camp, but a friend of mine and his buddies stay there, and I have been worried about this tree. There's a, oh my gosh, it's got to be a 20-inch, 22-inch spruce. It's about 15 feet from the cabin, but it goes up. It's got a split in the bottom of it, and it goes up, and then it probably goes up about a third of the, I don't know, 80 foot or whatever, how it's a big one, 85 foot. It goes up and then it just takes a gangster lean and leans over. The majority of the weight of that tree is leaning over this little cabin that would be crushed, and anybody inside it would be crushed if they were sleeping in it or inside it when the wind blew and this tree fell. So I've been worried about it. I've actually tossed and turned at my upper cabin thinking, Dan is down there. And, man, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about somebody, the wind blowing in the middle of the night. And anyway, I took a buddy of mine up there who had a friend that's really talented at taking down trees. And, you know, I can take trees down, but I'm not a tree falling engineer. And this guy is really good at it. And so I took him up there. And my suggestion was that we... attach with chains or straps this tree to another tree that's over by the river, so when we take it down, it can't fall towards the river. He goes, and that conversation of mine took about a minute. I gave you the short version, and he said, you know, if you weren't here, I'd already have this tree down. And I said, okay, I'll just get out of your way. And I had told him, I said, look, this is an older cabin. It's a beautiful lot. If you wind up crushing the cabin, I'm not going to hold you responsible. I don't have time to stop and rebuild the cabin at this point this year. So if it happens, it happens. So he was circled around the tree, looked at it, started his wedge cut, put a funny angle on it. And this tree, and I'm just standing back videoing this thing, and this tree that I swore was going to cut this cabin in half fell exactly where he wanted it, right down off the bank into the river. And it was pretty amazing to watch that much weight defying gravity and going the other way without any straps or ropes or anything else. Pretty neat. Anyway, took a load off my mind, so now I don't have to worry about that. I mean, any tree could fall in a cabin, but when they're that, hanging over that much, there's certainly an issue, certainly a concern raised. So I was relieved. And this place is, like I said, it's 5 acres on the river, and it's a high bank, beautiful, big spruce trees on the whole lot. My goal ultimately is to build a log cabin or have a log cabin built on that property at some point, because it's just a nice spot. It's about 2 hours up the river. I really like that spot. There's ponds behind it for hunting moose. There's like 7 ponds. Ironically, I've never got a moose there. I've always hunted the main river, but there's some neighbors around us that use their four-wheeler and will hunt back there. Not very many, but it's just a nice, quiet spot. Very, very beautiful lot with a big concern lifted now with getting rid of that tree. And funny, when we cut that tree down, that split didn't, where it looked unhealthy from the outside, it was solid, you know, not infested with bugs. It was just a natural twist in the tree. But it's just amazing how that tree grew, and then all of a sudden it just, the top two-thirds of it were leaning over. And again, I'm talking almost a 2-foot diameter spruce tree, so wouldn't have a lot of chance. You hear it falling, you wouldn't have time to get out of your bunk and get out of the way. So I can rest easy now that I know that Dan can rest easy and his crew that goes there. This year is going to be a little different if that log jam up there doesn't get blown out somehow by heavy water, which is unlikely. We may have trouble getting to our upper hunting camp, so I may have to be camping down at the what we call the green cabin below the splits anyway. So anyway, that's just what's going on in my little river world. It's nice to see people getting out on the water. The price of fuel has kind of slowed down the volume of people on the water. Just a good thing and a bad thing. I like, you know, it's therapy for a lot of people. It certainly is for me. I'm getting ready to head down to Chitna. I've only ever fished from a boat in Chitna. I feel way safer in my boat than I do. I see people clinging onto the bank. Ugh. I'm always ready, you know, if I see people over there. I always kind of keep an eye out, and just in case there's an emergency, I've got a throw device in the boat and a rope, quick, you know, which is Coast Guard required. By the way, you got to know that. Yeah, legally, you got to have some sort of throw device. A life ring is the best thing to have, one of those round life rings, but you can also have a throw device, could be like a seat cushion on a rope, a 25-foot rope or something. But you got to have something you can toss to somebody, have them grab to get them out of the water. But that river is wicked fast and cold, heavy with silt. It's amazing the fish can see under that water. But it's certainly something we do every year. I'm looking forward to it again, going down to Chitna for my annual Copper River stash. I take about half my silvers, half my reds, and have them smoked, and then just fillet the others. They're so good. I like that. This year I got some kings and even a couple cohos down there at Pelican when we were down there a week or so ago with my cousin Randy. It was a lot of fun. Loaded the freezer. Got that part out of the way, but I'm about out of reds, so eat a lot of fish. It's good for you, you know, the fish oils. It's about as healthy a food as you can eat. Eat a lot of blueberries, a lot of salmon. It's good, healthy food. We're going to talk in the back half of the hour about a couple of my favorite events we did during Golden Days, which is actually not that far off. A practical joke we did at Golden Days was pretty fun. And a couple other fun things we've done. Talk a little politics, talk a little outdoor stuff. Stick around. No real agenda today. We're just enjoying summer, getting out on the water a lot. Had a blast pulling the grandkids and Abby's kids around on the inner tube for 4 hours on the Sea-Doo last week until my whole hand went numb. But it's just so we got to the kids just love that morning. They get yanked around on an inner tube. It's like an air inflated couch almost. They just lean back, three of them, and have a ball. Anyway, we're gonna talk more about outdoor stuff and some other stuff. Stick around.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this. Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week, every hour, every day. Plus 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
This is Ann with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, thanking you for your support of your local Interior Alaska Food Bank. Because of you, we have had 4 decades of collecting local surplus food to give to those in need. The volunteer hours that you have given, the food that you've donated, and the cash that you have shared has helped tens of thousands of your local neighbors who woke up hungry to go to bed with full bellies. You make a difference in this community, one meal at a time. Thank you for your support of the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m., Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back. Craig Compo here with the Outdoor Show. We are talking about the river, the lake, the wild outdoors in Alaska. Gotta love this time of year. I certainly do. And I was just talking with a friend the other day about a fun trick we did during Golden Days. I just had so much fun with this. When they do the rubber ducky drop, you know, there's tons of people, several hundred, if not more people gather around the Cushman Street Bridge and Second Avenue, when they let the ducks off at the Wendell Street Bridge and, 10,000 rubber duckies float down. People are waiting there to see watch the activities, see which duck comes in first. I had a buddy of mine, Bryce Weaver, who's helped me with some other practical jokes we've done and fun stuff. I said, this is about a week before the event. I said, hey, I know what we can do. Let's get a buddy to bring, he's down halibut fishing, and I can't remember, it's Homer Valdez or wherever he was. I said, let's have him put on ice, he's going to be here a day or two before the rubber ducky race. Let's have him bring up a chicken, you know, a 15-pound, 20-pound halibut, and we'll keep it whole. And then I have Bryce go out with his hip boots and just be fishing in the middle of the Chena just upstream of the Cushman Street Bridge, like he's fish stand out fishing for grayling. And then I'll be hiding in the brush with this halibut, and then he'll throw the lure over to the bank, and I'll hook the halibut on it, and then he'll drag it in the water and then pretend like he's fighting a halibut. We did that, and I just wish we got some video of this. Oh, I'm so mad we didn't get somebody to video this. I'm sure somebody, if anybody out there is listening and was on the bridge and videoed this, I'll pay for that video. I'll pay handsomely. I would love to see this. But anyway, we're up, he's in the river, and all of a sudden, boom, fish on. And people, you can see them pointing. I'm hunkered down in the woods. They can't see me, and they're pointing and yelling and say, hey, look at it. He's got a big fish on. What is that? And so he's fighting it, and he literally is walking around, and he trips, and he falls down in about 4 feet of water, 5 feet of water, soaking wet. Didn't mean to do that. And then he gets up, And he's fighting and fighting. He finally reels this thing up, and he grabs the line, and he holds up this 20-pound halibut. And you could hear the gasping, the simultaneous gasping of hundreds of people pointing and then pictures being taken. Somebody's got to have some video of that. And we are cracking up with Bryce. So we took the thing out, and Governor Bill Walker, he was the governor at the time, or he was running for governor, I don't remember. But he was he had a booth up on the bank. And so we go walking around. We get up, and we're, you know, downtown. We're walking around with this halibut and fish line. And unbelievably, you know, of course, all the tourists fell for it. That's a halibut? You can get a halibut up here? I didn't know you could get a halibut. But it was amazing the number of people that – are Alaskan that literally questioned, is this, did you guys really catch this? Because I mean, who's going to think you're going to hide a halibut and then put it in the river? Well, I know I would say, your salmon come 1200 miles up this river. Why can't a misguided halibut? Look at that polar bear that got shot in Fort Yukon a decade or so ago. The funny part was we walk over and there's Bill Walker looks at him and goes, Compo? I said, yeah, Bill, how you doing? He goes, and he went up to touch it. He goes, that's a halibut. I can't believe you got a halibut here. He's from Valdez, of course. And I said, yeah, we got a halibut. And I shook his hand. Of course, my hand's all fishy, and he's shaking hands, and he's all fishy now. And I said, yeah, we got a halibut here. And he just kind of shook his head. He goes, I can't believe it. That's really a halibut, which should be a clue, folks, just saying. But anyway, so that was when we walked into the Mecca. We took pictures of that halibut. We're holding it up in the Mecca. We walked down to Bobby's. People are taking pictures with it. It's just we had so much fun. So that was always one of my favorite tricks that we did. The other one we did was at the fair one year. Now this was back in the days before. I think 2000 ballot measure number one had come out. It was our group, the Laundry House Gang, was the one that basically wrote the language for this. It was a huge deal. If you remember, outsiders used to come up. They would have initiatives to get on the ballot that prohibited the taking of wildlife or different methods or seasons or whatever. It was all ballot wildlife. Issues, and they would, you know, save the wolves, save the whales, whatever. It was mostly wildlife stuff, but it was really frustrating because they would pay these people $1 to $4 a signature, and they'd be out at the fair, and they, hey, would you like to save the wolves, you know, and stop aerial hunting, wolf hunting, and or you know, taking the wolves or whatever the situation was. Constantly, we would have to go to the ballot box and vote that down or risk losing, our Alaskan way of life because of these outsiders. Well, this ballot measure number one, I think it was, would change the Alaska Constitution so the voters couldn't use the initiative process to make any laws that would prohibit taking, transporting, whatever, seasons, methods for taking wildlife. And these... One year we had our booth, and right across from us was these do-gooders, these out-of-staters that were signing the ballot. And me and my buddy Rodney Vesper, who used to work for me, a lot of people remember Rodney. He was a great guy that was up here, since moved on. He's working for BRP down in Wisconsin. But him and I were sitting there watching them collect these signatures, and it was just like, oh my gosh. And it was, they had a clipboard just thick with signatures. And so a fair was really, really busy. And so we had schemed this idea. We were going to get two. We had three of us employees there, me and Rodney and one other guy. And we were going to start this fake fist fight brawl right there between the booths. And because we'd seen where they'd set this clipboard down in their booth. And, of course, most people, especially these do-gooders, are going to go up and try and break up the fight. So we said, we'll start this, you know, swinging. We don't care if we bleed or knock, fall down, scar ourselves up. We're not going to kill each other, but we're going to just start pounding on each other. And as they come to the rescue, our third guy would go over and walk off with their clipboard. had lose a couple thousand signatures. We were going to do this towards the end of the day, you know, because we kept seeing them set the clipboard down in their booth, and there was only one of them there. So anyway, that didn't happen, but we were really close to getting it done. I can't remember what happened. I think it was a night there was a big music festival, and then suddenly everybody vanished, and there wasn't that many people around, and clipboard was back in their hands. But anyway, we won the big, you know, the big vote on that. So as you noticed, the last 20 years or more, there haven't been any wildlife initiatives on the ballot. So that's courtesy of the Laundry House Gang, senators like Ralph Seekins and others that pushed this thing. And it's great because now they all move down to Utah to fight their battles or somewhere else. They can't get it on the ballot. It was a big deal. One of the most important things I think that ever happened, at least for Alaskan wildlife issues, and it needed to happen because it was getting ridiculous. We were spending all this money, all this time, all this effort fighting out of staters. We still do on other issues, but not wildlife initiatives, you know. So that's good. Now we're fighting ranked choice voting and things like that. We got to get rid of that, by the way. That has got to go away. I don't know when it's going to go away. We got the signatures. We just got to make sure we're going to get outspent by a crazy amount. And I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But this is the message. I'm trying to get the message stuck in people's heads. So I play this every once in a while. The thing I put together about ranked choice voting.
It affects both you and me. Shouldn't take an Albert Einstein to figure out this RCV. What was wrong with the old system? 'Cause ranked choice is such a chore. We should choose the one we want to win, not to ponder the top four. So the message here is simple. Keep it plain and keep it clear. If it makes the whole town stress out, why are we still doing here?
Stop the mess. I'm trying to get that message locked in people's heads because They do that on purpose. You know, people think, well, I don't want ranked choice voting, so I'm going to vote no. No, you vote yes to repeal it. So stop the mess. Just vote yes. That slogan courtesy of Will Stapp. So kudos to Will Stapp and crew. All right, that's it for the Outdoor Show. Craig Compa, go out there. Be safe. Catch fish.
You have been listening to The Outdoor Show with Craig Compo on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on The Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.